testimony you are about to give in the matter now pending before this court will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Just tell the truth, baby.
Tell the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You have just entered into the Hard Truth with your host, Mohammed Hard Truth Smith, bringing you the Haq. Prepare yourselves.
Alhamdulillah. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يا مسلمين in the United States in other parts of the world, throughout the whole world, we give you the best greeting ever. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And for all of our non-Muslim listeners, rather you hear with good intentions or evil intentions, you are always welcome to the Hard Truth, because that's all we have to deliver is the truth, the hard truth. Some people can handle it, some people can't. Alhamdulillah. So, I've been hearing this thing, and I've been getting all kind of emails and all kind of text messages and stuff on Facebook about this so-called rally against Islam in America. And it's fascinating. And what's fascinating about it is someone can go down to their local government office and ask for a permit to torment another person or torment a group of people. And it just takes me so far back. It takes me back to the Jim Crow era. It takes me back to the 50s, and even though I wasn't alive then, of course. But just knowing what went on, and we find the people who did this to black people are now turning around doing this to Muslims. And the funny thing about it is, there's black people who's even part of it. And I'm not talking about racism or anything. If you looked at the things that our forefathers fought for, when we're talking about the Martin Luther Kings and the Malcolm X's and whoever else was back in those days, the Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharptons and these guys and Marcus Garvey and all these guys, all these people who were advocating for civil rights, who are African-Americans who were treated this way, the ironic thing is, here you have African-Americans participating in this nonsense. And the sad thing is, these people who are doing this, these provocateurs, they don't even know anything about Islam. They know nothing about Islam except what CNN and Fox is telling them, and these Sean Hannity's, and these Rush Limbaughs, and these Neil Boortz, and whoever else is out there bad-mouthing Islam, probably never picked up a Quran in their life. Probably never sat with anyone in their life. I used to be a part of, well, really I'm still part of the group because I will always support them. It was Ask a Muslim. And Ask a Muslim was
organization.
Their organization who sponsored our show. And they had a very beautiful slogan. If you want to know about Islam, ask a Muslim. Don't go and look at the media. Don't go and look at these newspapers or what some crazy person is telling you about Islam. Ask somebody who's Muslim. And not just Muslim, but someone who's actually practicing Islam. So inshallah, we're going to take a quick break and let our sponsors have their words, and we'll be right back inshallah, and that is the hard truth.
The Hard Truth is sponsored by Ask a Muslim. If you want to know how to fix your car, ask a mechanic. If you want to know about the law, ask a lawyer. And if you want to know about Islam, ask a Muslim. Bringing the truth about Islam one person at a time. Visit the website at www.askamuslim.com or call in toll free 1-855-968-2756.
Alhamdulillah. So now we have this guy, John Ritzenheimer. You know, he sounds like some type of Nazi drill killer type guy. This is his whole name. His whole hookup is crazy, you know. And so he's organizing, ex-Marine guy, he's organizing all these groups around the United States to go to the masjids, and if you have a permit to carry, bring your weapons. So now this individual, he's a sick individual, is now planting a seed in the people's minds that there's going to be trouble there.
The only way to deal with Islam is by the bullet.
Yeah. And, you know, but that's American policy anyway, you know. And I have a message for our friend John, because, John, you know, we see that you always run to the immigrant masjid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of Muslims who are born and raised here, right here in America.
That's right.
We're called American Muslims, in case you didn't know. And American Muslims, we consist of a lot of different people. We have different backgrounds in education. We have different backgrounds in military. You know, you have cowboys who are Muslim now. You have ex-gangbangers who are Muslim now. You have ex-officials, ex-military men and women who are Muslim now. So, John, I don't know if you think that you're going to kick us out of America when we're born and raised here, but I'd like to see you try it, you know, because we're not going for it. We're American like you. We're probably more American than you are anyway, John. So, with that being said, this individual is trying to get something started. I think he's been listening to a Michael Jackson song or something. He wants to get something started, you know.
Like the show.
Yeah, he's trying to, him and this crazy woman, who's somehow on CNN the other day, well, not the other day, it was a few months ago, really blasted. I cannot remember that lady's name. What was her name? She's the one who caused that situation where they had these rallies, and they were trying to make fun of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And two brothers went over there and got themselves killed on some type of vigilante mission. You know, Allahu Alam why they did that. But it happened. She was able to provoke somebody. And these people are, to me, provocateurs. They're trying to get something going. And the sad thing is about what they don't understand, if you get something going like this, do you think all of America is going to have your back? We have family here. And not only do we have family here, there are people who have been oppressed for years. Do you think they're going to side with you, John? Do you think that the people who are gang members are going to side with you? Do you think the people who are left-wing are going to side with you? Stop doing this foolishness. It's not good for no one. Now, back to my original point, this is what's shocking to me. Here we have people who went through the struggle, saw their parents or their grandparents not able to drink a certain water fountain, being beat, being dogs being sick on them, water holes turned on them.
Being mistreated simply because of the color of their skin.
Color of their skin.
Being different. In America.
And now, their grandchildren are trying to do the same thing to a people based on their religion.
So they've taken the place of the slave master, and they have become the master themselves now.
Or the house niggas.
Good point.
Uncle Ruckus and them. So we got Uncle Ruckus and them out there. You know, don't trust them Negroes over there type dude.
Mm.
And the sad thing is, who knows about Islam? No one, none of these people truly know about Islam. No one wants to really sit and learn about Islam. Would you believe me, to my non-Muslim listeners out there, would you believe me if I told you that Jesus was Muslim?
No, they wouldn't believe that.
Of course they would.
No, they wouldn't believe that.
They've been lied to for so many years. If you tell them that Jesus, what do you mean? Well, let's, before you get irritated,
you have to define the word.
Let's see what the word Muslim means. What does the word Muslim mean?
One who submits to God's will.
One who submits to God's will, the will of God. That's it. So, did Jesus submit to God's will?
Every day.
What about Moses?
Every day.
What about Abraham?
Every day.
Noah.
Every day.
Adam.
Every day.
What about Muhammad?
Every day.
Fuck Muhammad, so it's all.
Every day.
What about this Muhammad?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
That's the hard truth.
Jiggy, sometimes.
Tell me, love. So my point is, they submit to God. See, this word Muslim is not something new.
No.
What people don't understand is, Allah didn't create, or for our non-Muslim listeners, God didn't create Christianity.
No.
He didn't create Judaism.
No.
None of that. He created a way for us to live and behave on earth. Meaning, it's not something you do one day out of the week. It's not something you do 2 days out of the week, 3 days out of the week. This is a lifelong commitment.
24/7.
When you wake up, Alhamdulillah, hilladhi, mamanna wa ilayhi mashur. All praise due to Allah, the one who returned my life after death, and to him was our return. We praise Allah when we first wake up. We make our prayer. What do the men do when they get up in the morning?
They wudu.
And then they do what? What do the men do? They come together to the masjid, and they pray. Hold on. Are we terrorists because we go to the masjid and pray?
No.
But somebody, some little white kid can go into school, kill umpteen people, and they say that this individual has a psychological problem.
That's not a terroristic act.
It's not a terroristic act.
But that's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it was.
He terrorized and killed the people, right?
I have to apologize. Brother Ali had an emergency tonight, unapologetic Ali. So our brother Jihad, and we haven't got him a name yet. What's Jihad?
Jihad the Farmer.
The Farmer anyway.
Because
he's good at what he do on the farms and that order. So the Farmer here is sitting in for our brother Ali, and this is one of our Sahabas, alhamdulillah, one of our close Sahabas. You know, we love this brother. You know, he drives us crazy. We love him, alhamdulillah. But this guy goes into school, and because his name is not Muhammad, Ali, Abdullah, Abdurrahman, or something like that, he has a mental problem.
Well, it goes a little further than that.
Okay, talk to me, brother.
If somebody with the name Muhammad or Abu Bakr go in and kill somebody, he's a terrorist, but the first thing they say, he's Muslim.
He's Muslim.
All right. They never said that this brother was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
He was the last guy, he was an atheist.
Well, even that being said, mm-hmm. whatever he believes in is never a point of factor.
No.
That never comes up. It only comes up if you're Muslim. Mm-hmm. If you're Muslim, that comes up first. Whether you have a psychological issue or whether you're struggling with anything, that doesn't matter because your name is Ali.
So I wonder why. Why is that? Why do you think that the media has focused on this person is Muslim or not?
In order to oppress the people, you have to give the people something to believe that you have a right to oppress them. If you understand, they always use the police in an area where it's predominantly black to say we have a strong police presence because there's a lot of crime over here. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the numbers say something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to justify to be able to oppress a group of people, you have to say this is why we do what we do because look at what they're doing. That's why every time something happens, oh, it's a Muslim. It's a Muslim. It's a Muslim. If you notice, when even today, when you hear the word Islam, you think of terrorists. You hear Muslim, you think of terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way the media has played and portrayed us to be. Versus being people who believe in a certain way of life, who are trying to change their way of life, who are trying to better the world, we're opposed with the people who say that we're the ones that's oppressing the world.
And, you know, it's funny because we had what's called Day of Dignity. Last Sunday. And we fed and we clothed many homeless people mm-hmm. in our neighborhoods. Our masjid every Sunday feeds the homeless people. Every Sunday. Does that sound like some terrorists to you? So why do the people fall into this Islamophobia thing? You know, we know why. I mean, we know what the government is doing. We know what the media is doing. You know, they're trying to put this one world order thing, and they want people to hate Islam so they can get rid of what's called Sharia. For those who don't know what Sharia is, it's the God of law. from the law of God. Now, my question is, if, for instance, you had a choice to pick, would you pick God's law or would you pick George Bush's law? Would you pick the law of God over the law of the UN? See, the sad thing is people don't want to open their eyes. They don't want to really see what's going on out there. Because when you keep your eyes closed, you feel comfortable, and you don't know what's coming at you, and a lot of people don't want to know what's coming at them. They don't care. They don't want to see what's real, what's really happening out in the world. So therefore, they say, well, we're going to believe what the media says.
So they portray that ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
You see, a lot of people believe that undoubtedly.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I don't know, it's not going to affect me.
And the funny thing about it, people still believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
Still teach that to their kids, even though it's a lie.
Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, it's all out there, bro.
But when you get something real, when you have a people who are saying, I'm only going to worship God. I'm not worshiping Muhammad. I'm not worshiping Jesus. I'm not worshiping Moses. I'm worshiping the creator of all that exists, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between.
Well, take it a little deeper. I'm not worshiping my wife. Mm-hmm. I'm not worshiping money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worshiping my job.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are a lot of things that people believe in.
That's true.
You see, the thing about it is that the surface will only be scratched on this situation because people are not willing to take a look at the man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at myself and ask the question to myself, am I doing what's right?
Well, and that's funny because a lot of people claim to do what's right, but their lifestyles is wrong.
There you have it.
You know, I remember when I used to be Christian, claiming to be Christian. Now, my grandmother, when we was younger, she made us go to church.
Oh, yeah, mine.
There was no, and my family knows, we went to church.
Oh, yeah.
And not only church, we went to vocation Bible school
in
the summertime.
Wednesday service,
mm-hmm.
Sunday night.
Go to church 7 o'clock in the morning and leave out 3 o'clock in the afternoon and be tired.
Yes, man.
But you can go into churches, and the women, their cleavage is out. Half the bodies are showing. They have weave in their hair. Total contradictory to what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
But, they say, well, it's in the heart. And I even tell Muslims this. Whatever is in your heart will reflect in your actions.
Mm-hmm.
If Mary was to walk in one of these churches right now, may Allah have mercy on her and may Allah extol her. If Mary, the mother of Jesus, may peace and blessings be upon both of them, was to walk in the church right now, she'll look at them women like they're crazy. But if she walked into a masjid and seen all the women dressed like her, then they say, oh, wow, alhamdulillah, these women are actually trying to be obedient to God.
Mm-hmm.
See, why is it oppression when the Muslim woman wears her hijab, but the nuns are not oppressed?
No, they're liberated. It's a play on words.
Yeah.
20 white boys is a club, 20 black boys
is
a
gang.
It's a wordplay.
Yeah, and it's amazing because you could put a Muslim woman in full hijab and a nun right next to each other. And they'll say, oh, the nun, oh, she's special. The Muslim, oh, I feel so sad for her. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. But it's something that happens. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, inshallah. And that is the hard truth.
For the best quality in 24-karat gold, visit AA Jewelry Store, located at 2210 Morse Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43229, Suite B1. Inshallah, you'll find the most beautiful rings, necklace, and much, much more. Give them a call, 614-269-8874, or email them at globalcohio@hotmail.com. That's globalcohio@hotmail.com.
Taz New and Used Tires, located at 3910 Cleveland Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, specializes in the best quality services and new and used tires. Taz also mounts and laser balances all tires. Give Taz a call and tell him Muhammad Hartruth Smith sent you.
Alhamdulillah. Now, we have a people who are committed to only worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Same thing Jesus did, same thing Moses did, same thing Abraham did. But society tells you, well, this ain't right. See, this is what's happening for real. The society in a whole wants to live based on their desires.
Correct.
How do you accept a law from a government who tells you that people who worship God are bad, but it's okay for two men to marry?
Wow, it's out.
How do you follow a law of the land who tells you that these people should not dress like this because it's a modest dress? No one is showing cleavage. No one is showing, the men are not showing what they're packing because they're wearing loose clothes. You know, the women are covering their beauty, keeping it only for their husbands. But they say, oh, but you can go in, nightclubs are permissible. Drinking is permissible. Gambling is permissible. These things are something evil, even in their books.
The conflict is with man's law versus God's law. That's the conflict. The conflict is not what a group of people are doing. The conflict is if you truly believe that you are the type of person that dedicates your life to doing what God has asked you to do, then it has to be a lifestyle change.
It has to be.
And if you move closer to God, then you have to move away from things that people tell you that are okay. Because if you're doing what the people are telling you, then these people unconsciously have become your God.
Mm. That's real talk.
So based on that scenario alone, you have to understand that if you choose to worship God, you have to follow the law that God has laid down. If we just did just a simple fact, just the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not commit adultery. Mm-hmm. Just if we just applied the ten,
which is the laws of God,
society would start to change overnight. If we just did the ten, and everybody became conscious and really tried to implement the ten into their life.
Mm-hmm.
But our problem is, when we were in the world, not trying to live right, our concept was, if I don't get caught, I haven't done anything wrong.
As if God don't see everything.
See?
As if the law is not all seen.
You see, our ignorance factor was so great that even the things that we would say didn't make sense after we started changing our lives by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that what Islam does to the people, it wakes them up. And when people are woke up, you can no longer oppress them. So now you have to find another way to oppress the people who have woken up from a slumber. Now we have become the giants of the world because now we start to recognize that as long as we are doing what Allah has told us to do, that we have never been defeated.
Alhamdulillah. You know, I want to backtrack a little bit. One of the sayings in the worldly life that has really hurt, especially African American people, is the saying, when the women say, I can do bad all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That is a saying of destruction of the family unit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying. I will destroy this family. And a lot of people don't know this stuff is systematically put into practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's systematically put into practice. And there is a race issue because the world needs someone to feed off of. Someone has to be at the top and someone has to be at the bottom.
That's right.
Islam removes that. And I'm not talking about Muslims. I'm talking about Islam.
Yeah, big difference.
Because it's a big difference.
Big difference, yeah.
Because you got a lot of Muslims that
still practice racism.
Are still stupid, pretty much. You know, a lot of people who, for lack of better words, a lot of people born into Islam. And they didn't convert or revert. So a large percentage of those people either treat Islam like we talk, like we
Christianity.
Mm-hmm. When we were born into Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the people who revert or convert or revert, whatever you want to call it, I don't care what word you want to say, those people seem to take it seriously. Now, there is a racist factor. They have chosen a race of people to use to live off of. They say that African Americans have the majority have the most, are the most poor people in America, right? But yet they are the biggest consumers in America. That's amazing. And we fall right into that. Fall right into it. Every chance we get, we want to spend money. We want to go out. We want to go do this and go do that. And like the brother was saying, Islam opens your eyes to this madness. Islam brings you out of this. And you begin to see. I have never did so much charity work until I became Muslim. And the reason why I do it is because I want to please Allah. I want to go to paradise. I want the doors of Jannah to be open for me. You know, there is a special door in paradise for those who give charity. There's a special door in paradise for those who fast the month of Ramadan. Door for those who fast. I mean, for those who pray. Allah has all kinds of doors in paradise for different people who do different things. Now, I'm not saying that you just don't have to pray and fast or nothing. I'm not saying that. But there's people who do extra. Allah calls them in the Quran, As-Sabiqun, the foremost. And the Prophet, peace and Allah says in the Quran, As-Sabiqun, Sawakya, he said there'll be a great multitude of the Sabiqun from past generations and only a few from later generations. Why? Because we have so much out here in this world that is pulling the people away from the truth. Now, we know that the Prophet ﷺ said, he said that one of the signs of the last days is that you will see people on the street committing fornication in the public, in the open eyes, for everyone to see. He said a righteous man will only be able to tell them, won't you go behind a wall? Won't you go behind somewhere? Not don't do that, but why don't you go behind somewhere and do that? Take that somewhere else. Subhanallah. These are the times we're living in. And what's happening is that the people are going to continue to hate Islam because it is the way of God. It's what God loves. And people want to do what they want to do.
Well, that's true, too, because we also understand the concept that people treat you how you treat yourself. And because of the bad behavior of a lot of people who say that they are Muslim, those who are actually trying to practice this way of life are being pulled and associated with that foolishness. The thing is that I'd rather for a person who had terrible behavior not to tell anybody they were Muslim.
Hello.
So therefore, I don't have any backlash. But we have backlash because people say, oh, well, I'm Muslim, but then you see them smoke a cigarette. Oh, I'm Muslim, but then you see them drink a beer or they're smoking weed.
Shove a bomb to their chest.
You see, the thing is, those who are innocent of the ignorance of others are made to pay for the ignorance of others. So therefore, what we have to do is we have to spend a lot of time in the mirror checking ourselves. And if we check ourselves, inshallah, just maybe that person, because it's better to get your enemy to become onto your side and to defeat him in battle. I'd rather for us to take all those hate mongers out there and teach them the deen and watch them take their shahada, because that would be a more powerful message than for us to physically destroy them.
Alhamdulillah.
That would, to win your adversary over to your side, then you have accomplished a milestone. Everyone thinks that we are violent and we're looking for a fight. We're not looking for a fight. We're going to defend ourselves, but we're not out there doing things, man, to make people think that we are intimidated or we're trying to intimidate.
I am very nonviolent. My name is Muhammad Luther King III. I'm a nonviolent person. I want to give a shout out to my new seamstress, our sister Saba Ashadia. She has Nitma clothing line, and I'm waiting on my Izar. She's supposed to be making me, inshallah. The sister posted up some very nice work on Facebook, and inshallah, she might be my new seamstress, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
So send a shout out to my sister over up in the up north over there, inshallah. She got patients in Philly. I'm not mistaken, Philly or Jersey, one of the two, inshallah. She'll probably hit me once a year. Just like, hey, get it right, brother. Sorry, sis. Doing the best I can here. Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah. Now, why does everyone think that the Muslims are going to come and just start blowing stuff up? You know, it's amazing that people fall for the banana in the tailpipe. We had a show, I guess about 3 weeks ago. It was called, what was the name of that show? And I can't think of the name of the show. But anyway, the show was called, oh, Government Conspiracy Against Islam. Do you people know that most of the things that are done in the name of Islam has been perpetrated by our own government here? It has. Think about it. ISIS. Do you know they messed up on one of the pictures of ISIS, right? They showed the guys there with the hoods on and the ISIS flags and everything. And then, biggest day, this individual had a Marine tattoo on his arm. For real? I mean, come on, man. Stop the games. This is the day and age of technology. People are going to see this stuff now, man. You can't, I mean, you got people out there who pay attention to these things. I remember when the first 9-1-1 happened, and they said Bin Laden claimed responsibility for it.
No, they first showed this picture and they were saying they didn't know who had actually done it, but they kept flashing this picture on the
screen. Well, let me tell you like this. What happened was he's supposed to put up this video claiming it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of us speak a little bit Arabic. What they said he said, he didn't say that. And they never put the video up again. You see what I'm saying? But the people, just everything the news says, they go with it. Everything.
The thing about us, being of African descent in America, the one thing that we should be very worried about is the news media. Because think about it. Just in the last 15, 20 years, have they started putting white Americans' picture up when they commit a crime, when it used to be told the opposite. Anytime a black was suspected of something, their picture was up at first. And whenever the picture wasn't shown, we automatically knew it was a white person. The thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to expand your breath and you start to question the establishment that you're a part of, you start to understand and you start to unravel these things and accept them for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
We've been manipulated by the media, the radio, the television, the newspaper, and any other form that they can do to make us believe something that's untrue. If we are to defeat Islamophobia, then we must stand as real Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you defeat it.
First and foremost.
That's how you defeat it, inshallah, by really and truly implementing the sunnah as much as you possibly can into your life.
But hold on. Now, but what about these individuals who who act like they're Muslims? Like, for instance, I watched a movie one time. It's called Don't Mess with the Zohan,
mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these government guys who were dressed up like Jews sometimes, dressed up like Muslims sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they dressed up like Jews, they attacked the Muslims. If they dressed up like Muslims, they attacked the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
To keep the conflict going.
Mm-hmm.
People don't something that people don't know is war is big business.
Oh, yeah.
War is multi-billion-dollar business. And every president has a war.
Mm-hmm.
Every president has a war.
Because
it's big business. Man, when you can drive a truck through a war zone, a semi-truck, and you're making $100-something an hour, it's big business.
Yes.
When the whole so-called 9-1-1 thing happened, Dick Cheney and them sat on the board with Hollenberg, whatever the name is. They were a company that goes in and rebuilds countries after war. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? So here it is. You have the ability and the authority to say, listen, let's go to war. And then my company, we'll clean it up when it's over with. I mean, come on, man. Beat your feet. You know what? We got something special for our people at Hollenberg or Hollenberg or whatever their name is. The people who go and start wars and then decide that they want to go and clean it up and make all the money off our tax dollars. And that's the hard truth. That's how we feel about you guys, your snakes. Bunch of snakes. Steady taking the wealth or the money that we earn and use it for whatever reasons they want to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing about it is no one speaks up. Now, I'm not into protesters. I don't believe in protesting. I'm not a protester. I don't do protests. I'm not carrying no signs. I'm not singing no songs. I don't believe in that. That's a waste of time.
You protest in a different way. You protesting now. You're just not a
snake. I don't want to protest.
But you are protesting.
I don't want to protest.
You are protesting now.
No.
If you're speaking up against something, then you're protesting.
I guess I'm a protester. Thanks a lot, Farmer.
That's the hard truth.
That's the hard truth. Lord have mercy. But I'm going to tell you something. Protesting ain't never gotten that. Don't let the people fool you in telling you that protesting in the 60s, that stuff ain't do nothing.
No.
They want to make you think it did something. But it didn't. What did it really do? What did it really do? Nothing.
Didn't change anything.
No.
Racism is stronger today than it was then.
Listen.
The difference is now you don't necessarily know who's doing it. At least then you had a fighting chance. You knew that this person didn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you go into the bank and you deny, but you have a 850 credit rating, but you deny the loan. What you think that just was? Or when you're pulled over because you have a certain type of car.
Alhamdulillah. I'm going to have to bring my sister Joy on the line because Joy hit me with some good stuff. Joy, which one is your number? I'm going to bring you on the line because you dropped some bombs on us here. Did I say bomb?
Don't say bomb.
I didn't know. I just said bomb. Can't believe I said bomb. Joy, hit the one. She ain't gonna come on. Let me see if my sister gonna come on. Hold on. Joy, which one is your number so I can bring you on? I'm gonna bring you on. Give me a second. Okay, here you go. Assalamu alaikum, Joy. How you doing?
Walaikum assalam. Rahmatullah barakatuh. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Can you hear me?
Now, what? Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Now, you were putting on, you were inboxing me, and we were talking. You were talking about the money. Explain to us what you mean about the money for the military, the food stamps, and everything.
Coming from somebody who served in the military, Muslim female, I caught it from all sides. I feel it every day. The biggest thing that they need to know is, true about the Halliburton portion. Yes, that war was started for business. It's for the economy. Most people who are in the military will vote for the presidential candidate that's for the military. If you have a war, they get more money. If you have a war, they get separation pay. They get all these hazardous duty pay. They get what's that other stuff? Hazardous duty pay, separation pay, and another pay that you get. Okay, the military is going to vote for the president. Is going to send you out wherever because you generate more money. As far as the companies like Halliburton goes, if it isn't for a war, the military is usually most enlisted soldiers or sailors are on food stamps. It's a lie that they told us that most black people are on food stamps. The average 18-year-old that joins the military got the little sweetheart that he had from high school that he done knocked up. The military ain't really taking care of him like that, especially in the Army. And they have no other choice because they don't have the rank but to go on food stamps. It happens all the time. So how do they get out of that cycle? Yeah, they'll start a war. It is what it is. Because they know, guess what? I'll get B-A-H-B-E-Q. I'll send my girl home to her mom. She'll go ahead and say she's just living with my mom or her mom to go ahead and get that government assistance, but I'm still getting separation pay or hazardous duty pay, and I'm golden. But as soon as it's over, all that stops. And if they didn't save any, that's when you have people who are struggling financially who have hardship loans or have to go to Army Relief to get that little stipend that they give. And I know right now I'm burning a lot of people. It's cool. I ain't never been afraid of much. I'm going to tell you the truth. And so it happened. Look at Fort Stewart, Georgia. It's ridiculous. If they're not beating their wives, the wives are trying to find a way to freak the system to get the money. Fort Stewart, Georgia is ridiculous. What's that base in Washington? JBLM, the Army Force Joint Base with McCord. Absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And they go, no, it's good for you what we're doing in this country. It's a lot. That's a lot. Tell the truth. I respect you more if you tell me the truth.
You know what? George, you know what? I say that all the time. I will have more respect for our government to let them hang and say, listen, we're all we care about is American interests. We're going to go over here and do this. I can respect them more instead of lying to us. Don't come to me and lie and say A, B, C when it's really D, E, F, and G. You know, if you want Saudi oil, say, listen, we're going to take Saudi oil for American interests. Just be sure.
But let me throw this in there at you too, Baba. Hold on. Okay, I was engaged not too long ago to Saudi Arabian national. The Saudi Arabians come here, they get all that money to go to school here. They get all that money to go to school here on a stipend, okay? They give them a certain amount of time to finish their education. But they are not allowed to marry American citizens. They are not allowed to extend their time. And if it's heard about or spoke about, which is very true, heard about or spoke about that they've married or whatever, an American citizen, they end up pulling their funding for school and send them back to Saudi Arabia. Now, the Saudi Arabians don't really want to be bothered with us. Let's be really real about the situation.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is. But America's in bed with them every which way, and I mean that in every which way. So it's okay for them to come here and be educated. It's okay for them to come here and have the mutanikas that they have every week. Every week. Illegitimate babies here, there, whatever. But because they know at the end of the time, the government's going to deport them and their country wants them back. And it's illegal for them to marry Americans. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
We're giving them favor after favor.
I didn't know it was illegal for them to marry Americans. I didn't know that.
Saudi Arabians want you to marry other Saudi Arabians, and that's the truth.
Oh, you're saying it's illegal for Saudi Arabia makes it illegal, not America?
No, not America didn't make it illegal, but the government, so they don't have heartburn when you go to immigration. Like, hypothetically, me and ex-guy, it was Saudi Arabian national who's here for school. Okay, we like to do everything we find wonderful. We do everything the halal way. Go to the mosque, have the imam pray it. Great. Okay. Once he files to stay to do his immigration package, they automatically pull his education, his tuition money, and deport him back. So America deport him back so they don't have the heartburn with the Saudi Arabian government who doesn't work with Americans anyway.
Wow. Well, you know what it is, sis. You know they all want our sisters.
It's just the thing about it. I mean, one hand washes the other, and it seems like we keep washing certain people's hands and don't get a return. Like I said, the average age, you know, when I joined the military, I was 19, to the protest of my family. My family was very much against it. It was after the first September 11th. I went, I did my time, I did my duty. Great, fine, wonderful. But if you go back to Islamophobia, which is the topic that you were talking about initially, I get more questions of how are you a Muslim and was in the military? There are plenty of Muslims. There are plenty of brothers and sisters in the military.
There's a lot of Muslims in the military. There's not plenty. There's a lot of Muslims in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's also a lot of people who become Muslim that's in the military. They go to places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and wherever else they go, and they come back Muslim. Big time.
But here's another thing. A lot of them join because, let's be honest, and I'm going to be honest about it. A lot of them join because, number one, if they come over here and they're a foreign national, and I have a lot of Iraqi friends, they come over, they're foreign nationals, the immigration fees alone are over $1,000. That's if they're married or marry an American citizen. They can't work until they get a work permit. The work permit comes after the green card.
Mm-hmm.
So the easiest way for them to get their citizenship is to do what? Join the military, where they're trying to be, or where they are trying to program them to believe everything they've been brought up to believe and know as far as Islam is wrong. So they join the military because guess what? I become a citizen. I'm getting a paycheck. It's the easiest job to have if they're in the state and on shore duty. So what else are they going to do while they're waiting for that work permit? It's illegal for them to work. They can't even sign a contract.
SubhanAllah. Okay, so we got to take a break.
Here's the kicker. One more thing,
okay,
and I'm going to be quiet. Here's the kicker. For you to file for your citizenship and your green card and all the rest of that, coming in, it could take up to 10 years. You join the military, you get it as soon as you finish boot camp in 3 months. Who's not going to go for that?
Mm-hmm. Of course. It only makes sense that they do it like that. But, you know, me and my co-host was sitting there talking, everything is systematically done. But inshallah, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to take a break. And that's the hard truth.
All right.
Looking for a quality used car? Look no further than Spectrum Motor One, located at 3238 Westerville Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43231. Not only does Spectrum offer good quality cars, but also a nationwide warranty, 40-point inspection, buy here, pay here, zero interest, as well as halal Islamic financing. Call Spectrum, 814-477-4388, or email them at spectrummotor1@gmail.com. And if you tell them Muhammad Hard Truth Smith sent you, expect a 30% discount, and that's the hard truth.
Furniture Land, Ohio, located at 1395 Morris Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43229. Furniture Land, Ohio offers the most beautiful furniture for a beautiful price. Good and durable. They stand behind their products. Quality, service, and great deals are what they stand for. Call them at 614-447-8505 or email them at furniturelandohio2@ymail.com. And if you tell them Muhammad Hard Truth Smith sent you, you will get 10% off your purchase, inshallah. And that's the hard truth.
So, I want to ask you, have you ever experienced Islamophobia? Have you ever been, someone was discriminatory towards you or racist towards you or anything like that based on that you're Muslim?
Only in the Muslim community.
In the Muslim community. Please tell. let me fix my seat.
I was in South Carolina at Juma, and the imam said that the brother should get a wife from Philistine.
Mm-hmm.
So after the kutbah, I went up and said, brother, okay, who do I need to talk to about getting a wife from Philistine? He says, oh, no, brother, you should get one from Sudan.
What? I would have been like a stuck for life now for what I'm about to do.
Yeah, just that.
Wow.
That's
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
That's heavy, man. And that's sad. And this is the reason why. I don't blame the disbelievers for Islamophobia. I don't blame the disbelievers for what's going on in the Muslim world. I blame the Muslims.
Of course.
It's our fault.
Of course.
It's our lack of faith. It's our lack of putting our deen into practice. It's our lack of being unified. You know, so many people want to separate because their race, their money, their status, you know, their ideas, you know. Imagine if all the Muslims in the world said, you know what, we're going to hold to this Quran and Sunnah with our molar teeth. Imagine. We're going to be on the same accordance. Islam would be, subhanAllah, it'll be a beautiful world.
Hey, wouldn't it?
Even for the non-Muslims, and they don't even know it.
Yeah, the thing about that is that we struggle because of our lack of commitment. And growing up in this country, it stresses the individual. The individual is king or queen. In Islam, it stresses the collective. So it takes you from a certain mind frame to no longer thinking me, 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 to thinking we.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue that we have. We have to understand that a lot of our brothers and sisters who come from other countries come out of oppressive relationships with the government. So therefore, they're damaged goods. And whenever you're damaged, when you come to a place where you're able to do things, you're going to do things differently because you're damaged. If a person has been in an abusive relationship, then after they come out of that abusive relationship, if they don't get counseling and recognize the symptoms and disease that's going on inside their heart, they're going to struggle. So we are to blame for what's wrong and how Islam is being portrayed in the media because we're not doing what we need to do individually as well as collectively because we have to check ourselves. And by checking yourself, Allah will bring you with the people who are checking themselves and the group will grow.
Alhamdulillah. We want to remind the people who are listening on YouTube that the number is 347-324-3601. If you want to call in and make a comment or ask a question or anything of the sort, or maybe you have some criticism, that is the number. Once you dial the number, push the number 1 on your keypad, and we will be able to see that you want to voice your opinion. We're going to take a call right now, area code 678, last 4 digits, 1185. Welcome to The Hard Truth with your host, Muhammad Hard Truth Smith. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay. I just want to go over 3 points that you all have been talking about so far. Now, you know, this is about patriotism and Islamophobia. And mm-hmm. the biggest thing, especially to the non-Muslim, that I want to stress is that you have to understand that a Syrian Muslim, because of his land, his government, may not be fighting for the same things as a Palestinian Muslim, as a Sudanese Muslim, as an Egyptian Muslim, and as an American Muslim. Because just like Christians in the United States hold on to their religion when they go into war, when they join the military, as in they're going to go to church, they're going to have the whole church pray for them. It's the same thing. When Muslims, they feel that they may need to fight for their country or they may have to defend themselves against their own government. So they, too, hold on to their religion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The second thing...
Let's deal with that one topic because I like what you said, and that's something that a lot of people don't talk about. If you come in my house, I'm going to knock the teeth out your mouth any way I can. I don't care who you are. If America, say Russia attacked America, right?
We all going to fight.
We all going to fight. We going to kick their butt.
Yes.
Because you come in our house. So what makes you think that you're going to go on somebody else's land and just do what you want to do? What kind of man is going to sit around and let you do that? Let alone a woman who has to protect her children. Women become very vicious when it comes to them babies.
Yes, they do.
They become very vicious when it comes to the babies. They don't play. So my point is, the sister has a good point. My point is, what makes you think that I'm a terrorist because I'm defending myself? That's the question. What makes you think that I'm a terrorist? Her call drops, she'll probably call back, inshallah. But I defend myself, I'm a terrorist? I mean, come on, let's be real. What is the meaning of terrorists? What is the meaning of terrorists? Or terror?
To scare.
To scare, to purposely.
To purposely scare.
Mm-hmm.
Or try to
intimidate. You know, these type of things. Are you there, sis?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh,
but
okay,
yeah,
alhamdulillah.
I missed some of what
okay.
you said, but again, like as you said, like, you know, no man is going to allow you to come into their home and disrespect their home. And the same for a woman. She's going to protect her children. But, again, I want to stress to non-Muslims that even, like, right now, you got Saudi bombing Yemen. Both of those groups of people are going to hold on to their religion as they fight each other. So you can't say it's all Islam's fault because they, too, have their own patriotism to hold on to, their own government to hold on to, their own culture to hold on to. So you have to decipher what's Islam, what's cultural, and what's them being patriotic themselves. Just like as Americans, we have the right to be patriotic too. And just like Christian Americans have the right to be patriotic and then Christian as well, whatever, you know, they do. And then another thing is, I want to say is, I think we as Muslims, you know, you may not like this, is that we can't say everything is a conspiracy. Now, I understand, like you said, war is a big business. I'm definitely sure that the governments around the world are, you know, working with each other and then backstabbing each other and then trying to incite things. But at the same time, we have to understand that there are Muslims within our own ranks who, you know, we know they're hypocrites. We know that they're not believers. We know that they're not practicing Islam correctly, but these people truly believe that they are. And we can tell
well,
this in their hearts when whenever...
That's not a hypocrite. Now, the people you're talking about, these are the people who get riled up by the other people. And you have like, for instance, the people in Arizona, Texas, where they had the Prophet Muhammad rally and they was going to draw the pictures of Prophet Muhammad and the two brothers went over there. They got drug off into that, you know, and, you know, along those best of the situation. But the thing about it is because of these, and when we talk about conspiracies, we talk about the ones that we have to live for.
The proof.
We have proof for, not just everything conspiracy, but the things that we have proof for, the things that have been exposed. You know, a lot of people don't even know that Ronald Reagan put crack on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Now they finally made a movie about it. Can you believe that? They made a movie about it. But
mm-hmm.
the thing is, huh?
The thing is,
there are great conspiracies out there, but they conspire so that they can keep their pockets fat, so they can stay in power.
That's why
the conspiring is there.
Yeah.
You know, like we were saying earlier, war is a big thing.
It's a big business.
You know, they have to keep somebody fighting. Who do they want to keep fighting? They want to keep everybody fighting against the Muslims. They're using the Muslims to gather their forces to become one group. Allah has in the Quran, it's called the Confederates. Surah Azab, Surah 33.
Uh-huh.
It's the Confederates. What was the Confederates about? Everyone came together to fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. Remember, the Jews supposed to have watched the back door, and the Muslims was fighting on the front, and then what happened? The Jews attacked them from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And alhamdulillah, they still beat everybody, but they called themselves coming together to eliminate Islam once and for all,
mm-hmm.
as if it can never happen. So when we talk about conspiracy, sis, we're talking about things that we have proof about. Not just talking and, you know, blowing a
hypothetical
in anybody's butt or nothing like that. We're talking about things that we know. What was your next
point? And then the second thing is, the third thing is, this is more of a question. When you want to implement Sharia law, how do you implement that when you have someone who does not accept Islam? When someone wants to implement Sharia law, you know, as I guess you can say, their government, How do you implement that towards someone who does not accept Islam?
There is
protocol.
Yeah, there's protocol for that. And what happens is a lot of the people do not go by the way the Prophet ﷺ did when it comes to Sharia. For instance, the first problem is we don't have an Amir al-Mu'mineen. We don't have a caliphate. We don't have a leader of all the Muslims.
That's right.
So there cannot be Sharia until there's a leader.
That's correct.
Second of all, if there is a Muslim leader, he has to be lenient of whoever is in his territory.
That's correct.
Whatever he's over, whether they're Muslim, Christian, or Jew. If they're Christian and Jew, they are allowed to still worship God in the way they've been worshiping God.
That's correct.
A lot of people think that because there's Sharia, that everyone is going to get killed and the women are going to be enslaved and the Muslims are going to be these tyrannical dictators.
That's not true.
That's not Sharia.
No.
But the problem is people don't know Sharia. They don't know the law. So because they don't know the law, they just go off what CNN says. You know, it's so funny because everybody, when they get on TV, yeah, the Muslims want the Sharia law. They want, if they actually study what Sharia law is, they'll say, wow, that'll cut down a whole lot of crime.
Well,
that'll help a lot of people.
Of course.
You know?
If you break down some of the terminology, if, for instance, if you do hood punishment, it's the word, when you translate it to English, it means deterrent. So we're deterring people from doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
People are so simple-minded nowadays, and they believe some of the worst things about Islam because they don't take time to study. It's amazing how you have the most ignorant people who are saying that they are sheikhs or that they are scholars of the deen of Islam when they have nothing to do with it whatsoever. And people are following them, believing everything they say and being misled, truly being misled, because they're not taking the initiative to study.
For themselves.
Hello.
You know.
Why, if you're going to leave the church, why keep the same Christian concept where the preacher tells you that you're a flock, and anybody who understands anything about animals know that sheep can't see good. So he's telling you that you can't see, and I have to guide you. Islam says that you have to take personal responsibility for your own actions. You have an obligation to study on your own.
That's right. We listen to the sheikhs. We listen to the early man. But guess what? We still go back and reference because times are so critical now. I love sitting with some of the imams and everything, and I love sitting and listening and learning and things. But you know what? I'm the quick one to say, "How do you get that from?"
And I don't
do all of them, and I don't disrespect them. But if it's something that maybe sounds
good, sure,
yeah, I'm going to ask.
Not familiar with?
Yes.
And that's the whole thing in Islam. You're not going to be ostracized for asking questions. Unlike in a Christian environment where they tell you just got to have faith.
Yes, sir.
You just got to have faith. You got to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Preach it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Alhamdulillah. Is that clear?
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much. Excellent show
so far.
Thank you.
Stay on the line, inshallah. We're just going to put you on mute.
Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum salam. That was, and she brought some very good points.
Yes, she did.
You know, because a lot of times the people don't talk about these things. Sharia is one of the big Islamophobias. They use that to say, oh, they're going to come in and it's going to be Sharia and everybody's going to be in concentration camps and dying and suffering. That's not Sharia. Inshallah, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back, inshallah, and that is the hard truth.
The Hard Truth is sponsored by Ar-Rahman Education Center. Looking for an Islamic school for your children? Look no further. Ar-Rahman Education Center and Homeschool Collaboration is the school for you. Located at the Dawah Center of America, 1631 West Caitlin Drive, Southwest Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. Our teachers are professional and certified. For preschool, contact Sister Zakiya at 678-752-1631. For elementary, contact Sister Indella at ilmacademyatlanta@gmail.com. That's ilmacademyatlanta@gmail.com. For middle and high school, contact Sister Halima at 678-308-6682. And that's the hard truth.
That's my baby.
Alhamdulillah. Now, another thing is, the sister said that there are people out here who are doing things. You know, there are people out here blowing themselves up. You know, there are people out here attacking masses of people. But there are also people out here who are not doing that. And the question always arises, Rush Limbaugh and them, these guys ask this question, why aren't the Muslims turning these people in? They ask that question. And my answer to you is, why should we stop these people when your people are doing much worse?
Mm.
Why should we stop and say, hey, go get him, when you guys have more strength and more military power and you will go blow up a whole village? And you're trying to tell me to get upset at a person who killed 10 people? Yeah, it's wrong. I agree with you, it's wrong. But you're doing 10 times the amount of wrong, 100 times the amount of wrong, and we're going to say, oh, it's in the name of patriotism. We call that patriotic terrorism.
That's what it is.
That's what it is, patriotic terrorism. It's terrorism disguised
as patriotism.
As patriotism. That's all it is. You know, they got these drone missiles that they can just fly like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And just kill masses of people. And a person can be sitting at his couch like he's playing, what's that, Call of Duty or something like mm-hmm. that, and go kill people. No problem. Kill people, no problem. And
good point.
My sister Joy just made an excellent point. She said, no one has Christian phobia after Timothy McVeigh did what he did.
Blew up the government there in Oklahoma.
After, what's the other guy's name? Randolph Rudolph, the bomber for the
pipe bomber.
The pipe bomber, Eric Rudolph.
They never said that either one of those was a Christian. They never said they were Christian. That's the whole thing. The thing is, it's amazing that if you wanna use religion as a focal point when you want to oppress people, then be fair across the board. Because in a Christian country, you're going to have more Christians committing crime because it's a Christian country.
Mm-hmm.
Churches are on every corner, a lot of times right across from the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is this. If you're in a Christian nation and you see, and you can cut the TV on any given moment and see 10 to 15 murders.
Mm.
These 10 to 15 murders were committed by who?
So-called
Christian
people.
So this Islamophobia is no more than a distraction so that they can manipulate the people so that people don't pay attention to what their real agenda is. And their real agenda is truly trying to oppress the whole world. And why do you attack a certain group of people? Because you know that this group of people will oppose you while you're trying to oppress the whole world.
Well, they're going to attack the people who can see.
Hello.
Like you said, if you're blind, hey, what's the point of bothering with them?
That reminds me of the hadith a brother showed me the other day, and he said that the Christian and Jews do not hear the waswas silkana of the shaitan
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't waste his time in a ruined house.
He don't. Why would a drug dealer try to get a crackhead to smoke crack when he already smokes crack?
There you have it.
You see what I'm saying?
There you have
it. And you know, the funny thing is, when we are discussing these rallies and you know, the people who join these rallies and so on and so forth, it takes me back to the whole, when we're talking about the black people who are not allowed to sit in certain restaurants, drink in certain mm-hmm. restaurants, and it wasn't that they were free or they were allowed to go now because of marching and protesting. They seen the benefit of their money.
Hello.
And my proof behind that is marijuana. It's prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was bad. But once the government see, hey, we can make money off of this, we'll legalize it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they legalize crack.
You have to look at it that everybody doesn't say, even prostitution in this country is legalized in certain states, but nobody talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is that whatever generates money, they find a way to make it benefit them.
I want you know what you said something just now, and just talking about the marijuana and the drinking and the prostitution, I wonder how many laws in the American law books are legal that are against God's law. Man, I never you know, that's something to think about. Because when you say prostitution,
you got gambling.
Gambling.
You got interest.
Okay, interest.
You got prostitution.
Prostitution.
You got
intoxication.
Alcohol.
Any kind of intoxication.
Yeah, that's marijuana.
Intoxication.
Yeah, all
okay.
That covered.
Uh-huh.
You have, wow. Dang, man, you got, man, I don't even know if we can sit here and come up with everything.
Man,
those are just some of the major ones.
But see, my thing is, with all these good religious folk, they hate Islam. But you want to deal with a law that is contradictory
to the lifestyle that you're trying to live.
Contradictory to what God says.
Yeah, because if you say that you're truly trying to follow Christ, if you say you're truly trying to follow Christ, then you have to have a contradiction with some of the things that same sex marriages. You have to have a contradiction with some of the laws that man says is okay for you to do.
Okay, so let's break it down like this. Do you think Jesus, alayhi salam, may Allah be pleased with him? May Allah send a salawat on him. Do you think Jesus, alayhi salam, would say it's okay for two men to get married? Do you think Jesus, alayhi salam, would say it's okay to have a whorehouse?
What words are we allowed to use on the show, brother?
Whatever you want. It's the hard truth.
Hell no.
Hell no?
Hell no. He would not go for any of that. No, brother.
Lanar.
No. Come on. If we just keep things simple and just look at the stories, we're just going to use some of the stories that are in the Bible, that the city and Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of what? Homosexuality. So therefore, there's no reason to say, well, it's okay if they choose that. God did something to show you how he felt about it.
But this is why I say the people only care about their desires. They only care about what makes them feel happy, what they want to do at that time.
The people have blinded themselves to the truth, so therefore they can't find it. If you close your eyes and walk around in a room with lights and you have your eyes closed, you deserve to hit whatever you hit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the truth.
And Joy, as far as this homosexual imam, if he is committing the act of homosexuality, he is
not
an imam. The Prophet ﷺ said that a person is not a Muslim when he is in a state of committing a sin. Or a believer. He's not a believer in a state of committing a sin. So we want to be clear that what is it being Muslim? What is it to be Muslim? Muslim means you submit yourself to the will of God. That means, and I'll be very clear about this, that means that a person is saying, you know what, God, I took my shahada, and as a matter of fact, I talked about the khutbah last Friday. When you take your shahada, you are committing yourself to changing your life to a lifestyle that is conducive to the pleasure of Allah. That came out pretty nice.
Yeah. Now let me add to that. Alhamdulillah. To add to that, he's not saying that that's going to be an easy transition or it's going to be overnight. It's a lifelong process, but you have to push toward the goal. A lot of people think that a lot of people who have become Muslim should change their life overnight. Some things are easier for us to stop than others. The thing is that you have to move toward a goal in order to achieve something. When you first start a job, you don't start the job at the top. You work your way up gradually, and inshallah, one day you may own the company. The same thing about the deen. We are to strive, to struggle, to push, and to constantly, man, ask Allah for forgiveness, and hopefully we achieve paradise.
You know, it brings me back to one of my favorite hadith. It's a Qudsi hadith, a sacred hadith. Allah, when we talk about this today, Allah just says, If my servant comes to me walking, I go to him running. If my servant comes to me a handspin, I go to him two limbs of a handspin. If he comes to me two limbs, I go to him a thousand. You see what I'm saying? So Elijah was just, what is he saying? Just
put forth the,
effort. That's it. None of us are going to be perfect. We put forth the effort. And let the people see your good conduct. People have become Muslim. Matter of fact, the whole area of Pakistan and India became Muslim off of one simple deed. You know what it was? One of the Sahabas went there, and the people in that area were known for taking advantage of each other, trying to beat each other out. You know, how much for that? For you, $25. Well, you just told him 13. Well, the price just went up, you know, trying to take advantage of each other. So this one Sahaba, he goes over there, he buys something. The man gave him too much money back. What did he do? The God fearing man. Sir, no, sir, you gave me too much money. Here, take this back. Could you imagine? Probably the whole area got quiet. Like, did he just give the money back? And when he did this, the people said, who are you? I'm such and such. Why did you give the money back? Because Elijah was just watching me. Could you imagine if every Muslim used that concept, kept in their heart and their mind that Elijah was just watching everything that we do? And so we deal with the people instead of people saying, well, you know, Abdul, you know, Fox says this about you guys, and CNN says this about you guys, but dang on it, Abdul, I don't see it. Why do you say it? Because our character should illuminate. Our speech should illuminate. When people say, you know what, I don't care what the news say about you Muslims. One thing about it, I know you guys ain't like that. I've been told that before, believe it or not.
I have.
Somebody told me that.
I've been told that too.
You don't make you feel weird, like.
Yeah, my name starts a lot of debate.
Oh, yeah. I'm
yeah,
lying.
My name
yeah.
starts a lot of debate.
Yeah, you got a serious name. Yeah. But the point is, our character should say something alone. The Prophet said, your best da'wah is your character.
Yeah.
So if we out there acting like we have no sense, acting like, you know, we're just the worst people in the world, then, yeah, how do you expect somebody to become Muslim? I don't care what you tell them. They're going to be looking at your actions and your characters. We got to take a quick break, inshallah. We'll be right back, and that is the hard truth.
Do you need to install a door, replace a broken window, or maybe add on to your home, build a shed in your backyard, or build the dream home you always wanted? Look no further. Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting will help make your dreams a reality. Good pricing, quality work, and honest Muslims. Smith & Associates will be your first and final stop, inshallah. Give them a call at 770-504-5993 or email smithapnc@gmail.com. If you own multiple units, ask about our maintenance program. Located in the Atlanta area and servicing surrounding cities, Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting, 770-504-5993. Got an idea? Give us a call.
You know, alhamdulillah, our brother Amjad, he was we were all shopping together the other day. We did a job for him, and we put some of the pictures on Facebook if y'all want to see the pictures of the bathrooms we did. And we were buying a shop vac, and the cashier didn't know that we didn't pay for the shop vac. Amjad knew it. So Amjad said, "Did you charge me for this?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I charged you." So Amjad looked at the receipt. He didn't see. He said, "You sure you charged me?" He said, "Yeah, I charged you." He said, "Well, it's not on the receipt." And he showed him the receipt. The guy said, oh, no, I thought I charged you." And he was so thankful. Do you know how many Muslims would have walked out of there with a free shot back? That's a test from Allah.
Yeah.
That's a test from Allah. And because of that action right there, this person can say, wow, that Muslim was honest. You see what I'm saying? If you want to stop Islamophobia, first of all, stop hiding your Islam. Crazy. If your name is Muhammad,
tell the people my name is Muhammad, not Mo. If your name is Bilal, tell the people your name is Bilal, not Billy. The heck are you scared of? Wow. My point is, tell them your name, and then let them see good character.
That's right.
I had a guy, when I was in Ohio, I used to help people, alhamdulillah, and I'm not saying it's to lose no blessings, but just something I used to do. I would, if I'm at home before Lowe's, and I might see a person need help, I help them load their stuff up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they get done, I say, my name is Muhammad, and shake their hand. Because I want to plant that seed. This is what a Muslim is. This is who Muslims are, who the Muslims are. You see? But Muslims, we have to, first of all, come up under that rock, out of that shell, whatever you're in, and do things. My wife, alhamdulillah, my wife wears niqab. She wears the whole full everything. You can't see nothing but her eyes. But this woman will go and serve soup in the soup lines. She will go help people in her full garment. Alhamdulillah, I made a lot of water. And I'll be sitting there like, man, you want me to go? You'll be all right, because, you know, people, they hate to see women. So many men harass her in Ohio, not here in Atlanta. Alhamdulillah, we're in Ohio. You know, she can't ride down the street without some white man hollering out his car or throwing something at her or something, you know, something crazy. You know, they only attack our women when the women are by themselves. So this is why the women really shouldn't travel by themselves, because they need a mountain, because these men, they do goofy stuff like that. So anyway, she would go places, projects, whatever, and help people do things. And I be sitting there like, man, you crazy. But she's alhamdulillah. We have to come up out of our shells. If our sisters can do it, then the man should really be able to do it.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
You know, I tell you, the sisters outshine the brothers.
All the time.
Until it comes to that P word.
All the time.
When it comes to the P word, all this love go out the window. Alhamdulillah, may Allah preserve our sisters. I mean. Yeah, but so in order to get rid of this Islamophobia, we have to come from about our shells, stop hiding as Muslims.
We have to practice the game.
And be Muslim. And be Muslim.
Okay, we look at it like this, right? All of us who were not born into a Muslim family, it was a point in our life we sold out for this way of life, doing all the negative things, we sold out. Why not sell out now for what's right? Because a lot of us sold out then for things that we knew wasn't right. But we say, I'm a do or die, I'm a ride or die. Why we can't be a do or die for Islam? Why we can't be a ride or die for Islam? Why we can't take that same level of energy that we were using doing all that negative stuff to do something positive now? Why we can't take that same push and sell out for something that the reward, we can't even imagine what the reward may be.
SubhanAllah.
We don't have a reference for it. Even the things that we've been told, our senses cannot perceive it. The thing that I like to use is I tell people I want more than what I see. So based on everything I can see, I want more than what I can see.
God, I want Adam's kids.
I want more than what I can see.
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. We want to remind the people that The Hard Truth airs every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We like for the people to suggest topics. We have discussed some of the topics that the people do suggest. We were going to do a different topic tonight, but because of this John Rittenheimer, a.k.a. Nazi Boy George guy, maybe as a good Muslim, I shouldn't say all those things about him. So I'm going to retract some of that. Because this guy wants to have these rallies, and all the time, Sister Joy, all the time, and thank you for coming to the show. Because of this guy wants to have these rallies and, you know, treat Islam as if it's something else, we have to really get out there and teach people what Islam really is. We really got to get out there and give da'wah. We have to stop working so much. That's one of my biggest problems. I work all the time. The brother Jahan, he works all the time, and sometimes we put in real long hours, and we don't get home until it's late, and we're tired and stuff. So at least try to keep your weekends free. Try to keep something free for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, inshallah, Allah will increase that. So we want to remind the people that the show goes on every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. If you're on Facebook,
and you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, go to Muhammad Hartooth Smith or Muhammad Smith on Facebook, and inshallah, you can plug in, we can become friends or whatever, and you can follow us on YouTube also, but you can follow us and see what topics we're putting up. Maybe you have a good topic that you might want to hear. Go in there and put your topic up, inshallah. And like we said before, if there's anything that we said that is incorrect, that is wrong, then we ask you to bring it to our attention. We ask that you ask Allah to forgive us, and may you forgive us. And if we said anything that is correct, that is inspiring, that makes you want to be closer to Allah, then verily all the praise is to Allah. We are out of here. Inshallah, thank you everyone for coming and visiting the show tonight. And inshallah, we'll see you next week. And that's the hard truth. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My daddy has to come home now, and that's the hard truth. Assalamu alaikum.